I am here with Tommy and I, Tallarico.
That's the one.
All right, I got it right. And you are the founder of Video Games, Video Game Live, yeah?
Video Games Live.
Video yep. Games Live. And they're coming to the Springfield Symphony on May 13th, and I'm honored to be able to talk to you about it. I understand that this is the first time that you're able to put on the show in Springfield.
Yeah. So I was born and raised in Springfield, Mass, over in 16 acres, and went to grade school and high school there, and did a year of college, and then I moved out to California by myself when I was 21. And within 3 days, I was working in the video game industry. That was over 28 years ago. So since creating Video Games Live 15 years ago, we've toured all over the world. And we do about 40 or 50 shows a year, everywhere from Brazil and Chile to Dubai and Doha, Qatar, to all over Europe and China every year, Malaysia, Singapore, Australia, New Zealand, you name it, we've probably been there.
Wow.
But I've never played my hometown of Springfield, Massachusetts with the Springfield Symphony. So I've been contacting them for a couple years. And, you know, we just had to try to figure out the scheduling, and, you know, my touring schedule is crazy, and you know they have certain slots open. So we finally figured it out, and it's going to be an amazing night. I'm pulling out all the stops, of course, because I've literally been waiting for this moment for about 40 years now. I'm 49 now, but I remember being 9-10 years old, and like Star Wars and came out in 1977. I was nine, and the Rocky came out the year before that in 76. And I remember listening to that big orchestral music scores for Star Wars and Rocky, and later on like Indiana Jones and Tron, and those kind of orchestral scores is what got me into listening to the masters,
right.
Beethoven and the Mozarts, and I would always want my mom to take me to the Springfield Symphony at Symphony Hall, so that I could hear Beethoven, and I remember it listening to it live with the Springfield Symphony. I mean, it absolutely kind of changed my life. It was so powerful to me, and that really got me interested in composing music and things like that. So to come back now 40 years after that, 9-year-old kid sat in the audience, and to be performing on stage and performing, my two greatest loves growing up were always video games and music, so
I know the feeling.
Right, yeah, exactly, right. And so being a video game composer for 28 years, that was my goal in creating this show, is I wanted to prove to the world how culturally significant and artistic video games have become. Mm. But I also wanted to help usher in a whole new generation of young people to appreciate the arts and to appreciate the symphony, appreciate orchestral music. So, again, it's going to be an emotional night for me, but I can guarantee you that it's going to be one of the greatest shows we've ever done. Because I'm pulling out all the stops, like I said. And I mean, we've put on shows at the Hollywood Bowl with the LA Phil. We've done the Bird's Nest in Beijing, China. The National Olympic Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
We did two sold out shows there last year, 30,000 people a night.
Jesus.
We've played Red Rocks in Colorado, all over every amazing stadium and venue on the planet. But this one's going to be, I think, the most special for me.
Oh, that's excellent. I mean, I remember, when you first started it, the first show was in LA, I think.
Yeah. At the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
The LA Phil.
Like 11,000
people.
People.
I was crazy.
Yeah. I remember hearing about that. I'm like, that's amazing.
Yeah. Well, what's funny, I'll tell you a funny story about that.
Yeah.
When I first started Video Games Live, no one had ever done anything like this before. I mean, they had done a couple of one-off concerts over in Japan in like the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But no one had ever done a tour. No one had ever you know, synchronized video and lights and lasers, and no one had ever played the music that we were playing ever anywhere in the world live. I'm talking about Sonic, Kingdom Hearts, Metal Gear Solid, Halo, Warcraft, Myst. No one had ever played any of that music live anywhere, not even in Japan. You'd think like Sonic and, you know.
Yeah, you'd think at least like they throw in some Fire Emblem or something.
Right. Well, Fire Emblem's actually on my list to my to-do list to add to the show. We have over 170 segments that I've created for the show over the last 15 years. And we can only play about 19 of them a night. So I changed the show every single year. But, like, you know, this year we added things like, you know, Xenoblade and Phoenix Wright and, you know, some
amazing.
Really kind of, you know, Eco and Command and Conquer. And so there's always, that's the great thing about it, is there's always, always, you know, great, not only new stuff that's coming out, you know, games like Skyrim and, you know, any of the, you know, the Warcraft and Overwatch stuff. So there's always new material to draw from, but there's always like old stuff as well that has never been covered yet. You know, things on our list are things like Fire Emblem, like you mentioned, Shenmue we haven't done yet.
That's surprising,
Earthbound,
really.
Mother, you know, we so always stuff on the list that we're getting to. But when I first did the show, everybody thought I was crazy. There's like, no way is anyone going to show up. Like, you're risking $1 million. Literally, it was over $1 million. You're risking all this money that you know, earned your whole career in video game music and sound design. And you know, and 500 people are going to show up. Because people who go to the symphony don't play video games. And people who play video games never go to the symphony. So you're like, you're totally screwed. No one's going to show up to your dumb idea. And so, but I was like you. I knew that it was going to be, you know, I was hoping that people loved this stuff and were as passionate about it as I was. And so reality, fast forward 6 months later, 11,000 people ended up showing up for that first show.
And it just went across the internet. Just like, look at what happened. Look at this.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to go to this.
And that's why I wanted to do it at, you know, quite arguably the most famous venue in the world. Because I wanted to make a statement. You know, that was the other thing people were telling me, was like, you know, hey, look, no one starts at the Hollywood Bowl. you tour for 30 years, you win 5 Grammys, and then maybe you get invited to the Hollywood Bowl. You know, no one starts at the Hollywood Bowl. But we did, our first show ever. And they're like, well, maybe you should play it in, like, you know, Iowa first, and then, like, you know, tune it up, and then before you bring it here. I'm like, no
have
way.
Have you tried Saskatchewan? Or
we want to make a statement.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to make a statement to say, look, here we are at the famous venue in the world with, quite arguably, you know, the top musicians in the world. The L.A. Phil's very, very, you know, up there in ranks.
Yeah. Well, actually, so, that's something I wanted to ask you about. So you make a point to use local musicians. Is that?
Yeah,
that's so how does that work? Do you go out to the specific venues and work with the musicians, or do you send material to the orchestra in whatever city you're going to go to, and then work with them a little bit before the show?
That's exactly what we do. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly. So, and I'll tell you the reason why I use local orchestras, because, you know, it would be very easy for me to just hire a whole orchestra and tour around, and quite frankly, I'd make more money, right? But that's not my mission. Is to make money with this. My mission's to, you know, I've made enough money in the video game industry over the last 30 years. you know, this is all about, you know, getting young kids. I mean, I love doing it. Don't get me wrong.
Of course.
You know, you know, being on stage and the energy and the excitement, and being able to travel around the world. But, you know, for me, I think it legitimizes not only our show, Video Games Live, but the whole industry. I think it helps legitimize the whole industry because, you know, the folks who are going to be there on May 13th at Symphony Hall, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to be seeing the Springfield Symphony on stage, who are the best musicians in the area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so the community is looking up there going, geez, this is our Springfield Symphony. You know, they mostly, they normally play Mozart and Beethoven and Stravinsky and Tchaikovsky, but tonight they're playing Mario and Zelda and Pokemon and Final Fantasy and Halo and Warcraft. It's amazing. So it like, I think it, you know, and for the symphonies, it's great as well, too, because, you know, the symphonies are having a difficult time bringing in younger generation of people. But this show, you're going to go to the show, you're going to look around, and you're going to see, like, 70 to 80% of the audience are, like, under 30, you know? and when has that ever happened in the history of music? You know, even during the time of Beethoven, people who went to the symphony was old, white, rich people, you know?
Yeah.
And that kind of hasn't changed much over 300 years, right?
Yeah, it's kind of the tradition of the symphony.
You know, so here we are kind of just throwing a wrench into the works of all of that. And the other thing that we do as well that's kind of different from your normal symphony show is I didn't want to create something that was like a normal symphony show where, okay, everybody's got to be quiet. Everybody, you know, shh, be quiet, the symphonies, and everybody's in tuxedos and all the lights are up and don't cough or don't make a move. I'm the exact opposite. I get on stage and I go, okay, everybody, if there's something that you see or hear, I want you to feel free to scream, yell, cheer, holler out whenever you feel like. So what I've done is, you know, Video Games Live, it's all the greatest video game music of all time, played by a full symphony and choir. But what makes it really special and unique is that everything's completely synchronized by, you know, massive video screens, mm-hmm. stage show production, interactive elements with the crowd, rock and roll lighting, special effects. So I like to kind of describe it as having all of the power and emotion of a symphony orchestra, but combined with the energy and excitement of a rock concert, you know, coupled together with all the cutting edge visuals and interactivity and technology and fun that video games provide. So, you know, I wanted to take all the cool stuff that guys like me and you grew up with, you know, video games and rock and roll shows and, you know, MTV and interactive stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, all, you know, we're the visual generation, right? And I wanted to take all that stuff and combine it with, you know, so it's kind of like old and new coming together. It's tradition and the future coming together, you know.
Yeah,
and it's something really unique.
That's something else I wanted to ask. Like, you synchronize the music with all these different elements. How can you explain how that happens, how you get to do that?
Yeah, so when I start a segment, a new segment for the show, the first thing we do is I'll arrange the music, you know, so kind of like for example, if I'm doing a Halo suite, mm-hmm. I might use a song from 1, a song from Halo 2, a song from Halo 3, whatever, and I kind of, you know, combine it. Phoenix Wright, another perfect example, where instead of just doing one song from Phoenix Wright, I might combine two or three of the more popular ones, right? So I arrange it first, then I get down the timing. What's the exact tempo? From there, I hand it off to like an orchestrator, and they kind of, you know, start tagging each of the instruments, and that's kind of like more of a technical job. You know, kind of, you know, making it come to life and you know, what note is this violin going to play? What note is that violin going to play? You know, kind of putting it all together. But once I have the tempo, I create what's called a click track. And a click track's like, if anyone's ever learned piano or an instrument in school, they might remember the metronomes, mm-hmm. those, you know, boxes, you know, and so that click sound is what musicians use when we create scores for movies. You know, in the studio, everything has to be timed perfect. So you hear this click track, and it's basically the exact tempo of how I want it, which is generated by the computer, because I put everything into the computer and then I get the exact timing. So once that's done, then I edit the video. So music first, then, and I actually do all the video editing for the show, so I'll get all the, stuff from the companies, and then I edit the video into it. And then I sit down with my lighting designer, and then the two of us go through and I combine the lights, not only with the music, but with the video as well. And it has to be like, if it's Zelda, it's like green and gold.
Of course.
If it's Final Fantasy VII, it might be like, kind of a purple and a pink blue vibe or whatever, So always Mario, red, red and white, Sonic, red, white, and blue. So all, kind of all the colors, and we match it to the music. And then we put all of that into a computer, and then on stage, my conductor will look at my video guy, and he nods his head to make sure that all the musicians are turned on the right page. And my video guy hits the space bar, and basically the train leaves the station. The click track starts, the video starts, the lights start, and now it's up to the conductor to make sure that all the people in the orchestra are playing the right notes at the right time. But here's the thing, I send the click track out to every single person on stage.
Do they
So
have all
every
earphones or something like
Yeah,
that to
so we'll have 100 earphones on stage. So not only does the conductor hear it, but every one of the musicians as well. And that's how, so they know the exact tempo. And the reality is, you asked earlier, how long do you work with these folks? So I send them the music in PDF form about 6 months ago. And the choirs have rehearsed, like, they'll be rehearsed like five or six times on their own before they get there, because rehearsing choir is a lot more difficult. But musicians, especially quality musicians like these, they read music like me and you read books. They just open up and they go, right? And so I send it ahead of time, but then on the day of the show, we set everything up in the morning. By 1 o'clock, the musicians are starting to roll in, and we'll have a rehearsal from like, 2 to 5. And then they let people in, and then the show happens at 7:30. So we only really go through each piece, probably like twice. And that's all they really need, Sometimes we just do one piece. They'll hit it out of the park first time, and it's like, okay, yeah, we get it. For some of the more difficult pieces, like the Skyrims and the Warcraft, some of the Final Fantasy stuff, we might have to do two, sometimes even three times. Now, actually, I'll tell you, one of the most difficult ones is Mario, because it's kind of like this, kind of swing waltz kind of thing. Ba-da-ba-ba-de-bop, boom, la-ba-ba. It's very kind of like, and classical cats usually can't groove,
Yeah, especially like with Mario, like some of the themes, the tempo, there's a very marked tempo shift between the and the underwater theme and things like that, you know.
underwater, like that's a waltz, right? So, So it's all kind of over the map tempo-wise, and so sometimes it gets a little tough. But again, after two or three times, they got it down. So yeah, but that's how we do the synchronization. Everybody's got a little earphone, and he can hear a click.
Do you ever run into a conductor that he probably they probably
Well, we
don't
bring the
like
conductor.
oh, okay. I was like,
No,
some
we
conductors
gotta
might
bring our
bristle
own
against like, oh,
conductor.
I'm you have to I have to control my artistic vision or something.
No. We have to bring the conductor, because they have to know the music inside and out. They
I bet,
literally have
yeah.
to know every single note of the whole show, and of course be familiar with the tempo changes and the clicks. So yeah, I have now the conductor that we're going to be using for the show on May 13th is amazing. She's actually one of the well, she's one of the best conductors in the world. She's definitely one of the top female conductors in the world, but also she's like the number one video game conductor. She's conducted everything from Zelda's 25th anniversary CD.
Oh, wow.
She did the Zelda tour, the Zelda symphony tour that they were doing. But she's conducted every single Blizzard Entertainment game for the last 10 years. She worked on Metal Gear Solid. So, and she's one of the composers from Warcraft as well. And we're going to be doing one of her pieces from
Really?
that. Yeah, it's going to be crazy. So she's going to be conducting. So that's the level of, a professional, but knowing all of the music, like it's somebody who lives and breathes it every single day. It
Right.
would be difficult to just throw any conductor up there, or the normal conductor of the symphony, they'd have to they'd have to study for weeks in order to prepare for this one show. But
Yeah.
Emer's been with me, 7 years. And she's really excited. She's born in Ireland. She lives in LA now, but she's an Irish conductor composer, and she's just amazing. And when you see her, she's like a wizard. She's like a magician. Like when you see the way she moves, and like it all makes sense, and it's like this beautiful dance, and it's really incredible. I'm really excited for people
Oh
to
yeah.
check it out.
Anybody that's listening, if at any time you can go to the symphony and just sometimes you're watching the symphony, you want to see like for me when I don't get to go that much, but anytime I get to watch it like on online or something like that, I watch the symphonies to see the how people technically do things, what the whatever but how everybody moves and things like that. But then you look at the conductor and it's like they're just going crazy up there. It's the movements that they're doing, and it's like you said, it's like a dance that they're doing, and their partner is the 100 people in front of them.
Right.
And it's really a sight to see, and especially with like lasers and stuff. Should
Yeah,
be
yeah.
interesting. The last thing I wanted to ask you is, you've been doing this for a while, and I know that one of the major points is that you want to try to bridge the gap between like younger gamers or younger people and going to the symphony, enjoying like symphonic music. Have you heard of a lot of people that came up to you and said, "I want to be a musician now," or "I want to be I want to play the flugelhorn," or something, something random, you know?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, every single show we've ever done, I will get emails or people on social media, usually from parents, saying, "Hey, I just, we went to the, me and my family went to the show last night. I'm not a gamer. I didn't know what to expect, but oh my gosh, I was blown away. I couldn't believe how powerful the music was, and the graphics are so incredible, and the storylines and the characters. I get it. Now I know why my kids are so much into video games. Thank you so much for opening my eyes." So that's really cool.
Yeah.
But then they'll go on to say, "But I just wanted to let you know, we're all sitting around the breakfast table this morning talking about the show, and my 8-year-old daughter says, 'Mom, I want to start taking violin lessons so that I can learn the music to Kingdom Hearts or Zelda.'" So absolutely, it's inspiring people. It's inspiring non-gamers to go play video games with their kids, and it's inspiring young people to, to get into the arts and get into, picking up instruments and do. I mean, look at the Guitar Hero craze is a perfect
Oh,
example,
yeah.
where any person who runs a guitar store will tell you that in the heyday of Guitar Hero, when it was, the most popular thing going, they were selling three times the amount of real guitars during that. So people who are playing, and by the way, I'm a pretty good guitar player. I can play on expert, a Guitar Hero player. I can play on expert, and I've been playing real guitar for 45 years of my life. I'm pretty good at that too, right? And I can tell you that playing Guitar Hero on expert is actually harder than playing the real guitar.
Oh yeah, definitely. I
So
mean,
for all
I'm a
everyone out
percussionist
there.
myself, and well, I do a lot, and the skill of playing Guitar Hero is way more if you play drums than if you actually play the guitar. Like I know a few some of my friends that play guitar really, really well, and I give them the plastic guitar, and they're like, "I have no idea what's going on right now."
Right, funny.
But that's it makes me think that like when I was in school, and we went to the symphony, like they would put us in the bus and take us out to the Springfield Symphony Orchestra. We went to see Peter and the Magic Flute. And, that I know that inspired like me and some of my friends to like go into the school band to learn instruments. And this seems like it would be the same thing today. People, like kids going in, is like, oh my god, that's now it makes sense. That's why everybody keeps talking about all these weird instruments that I never hear about except for here. So This is great. I'm really excited to go see to see like local instruments and local sorry musicians playing all of my favorite stuff. Actually one of my friends was asking, is there anywhere that people can watch this that can't make it to the concert? Are any of your concerts streaming online at all, or?
Not this particular one. We stream some of our shows from China. Mm-hmm. But those typically don't make it to the U.S. so we stream them in China, but not in the U.S. Sometimes, I mean, if you go on our Video Games Live Facebook page, or sign up to our mailing list on videogameslive.com, what we're doing is we're actually creating an app, and that's going to be coming out in a few months. And you're going to have the ability not only to watch the shows streamed live, but also it's going to be a virtual reality. So we're setting up, and you can go on YouTube now and see a whole bunch. In fact, if you go on YouTube, there's a lot of our shows that we end up streaming, mm-hmm. we'll end up putting on YouTube afterwards. So,
cool.
So you can kind of go see, you know, some of the stuff, but there's stuff in particular. If you put in Video Games Live 360 into YouTube, mm-hmm. You'll be able to view our 360 cameras that we did like last year at the Blizzard.
We do a
Blizzard show in Cologne, Germany during the big Gamescom, the biggest video game convention in the world. And we were playing on the Blizzard stage, and we set up these 360 cameras. And so you can go on YouTube now, and you play it. You play like Hearthstone, for example, the video from Video Games Live, and you can grab the screen with your mouse and look up, down, left, right. And if you have a virtual reality headset, you can just jack right in. And so you're wherever you move your head, that's what you're going to see, and it's full HD audio and video. So that's kind of the future where we're going. We don't have it here yet, but mm-hmm. it's coming by the end of this year. So, but for anyone who can't make it to the show, first of all, shame on you. second of all...
Well, I mean, he's in Maine, you know.
I mean, come on.
It's just 4 hours. Get in the car.
In 15 years. You don't know when we're going to come back. But yeah, for anyone who can't make it to the show, if you go on YouTube, there's over, I think, 300,000 videos of Video Games Live online. So yeah, just look for that.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being on Press Start to Continue. It's really a pleasure to talk to you. This is Tommy Tallarico, and with Video Games Live, this concert is going to be this Saturday, May 13th at 7:30. Is when the doors open?
7:30 p.m. Yep, at Symphony Hall.
Symphony Hall. You can go to springfieldsymphony.org if you want to pick up tickets. I'm sure. Well, maybe they're sold out by now. Probably, but
no,
you know,
there's still a few tickets left. I think
still some time. So, check that out. And if you want to donate during our fund drive, then we have two tickets available. So go to valleyfewradio.org and click donate, and then you'll be able to get in the running for a couple tickets to this amazing, amazing show. So Thanks a lot for being on. Really appreciate it, awesome. And I'll see you there.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks a lot.